Let's go to the Lord in prayer together. Oh, Father, we come before you, glorifying your name. Oh, God, you are so good. Lord, may we come before you with that in our hearts, that theme resounding over and over, to God be the glory. To God be the glory. Not to us, O Lord, but to you be the glory. Lord, help us this morning. Open our eyes to see your word. We pray in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. Well, we've used that word a lot this morning. Glory. Glory. What does it mean? Glory. We've said to God be the glory. We've said glorify thy name. We've said glory to God forever. We've used every different variation of the word. What do we mean by glory? What does it mean to glorify God? In the Westminster Shorter Catechism, question one is, what is the chief end of man? And some of you know it. It is what? To glorify God and enjoy Him forever. So if our chief end, according to the Westminster Shorter Catechism, is to glorify God, which I believe it is, according to Scripture, what does it mean then to glorify something? Let me give you a little bit of an illustration. Last night we had a choir Christmas party, and we have some talented men in our church, and ladies, but in particular last night, we had men who made some things. We had a gentleman who, Mr. Mickey, one who made our pulpit. It's not up here this morning, but he made our pulpit. It's beautiful, if you've ever seen anything. Just beautiful. Well, he made a pepper mill last night, and that thing got stolen by these dirty Santa Claus people who were here last night. Over and over and over again, when they weren't stealing the wooden pepper mill made of ash and just beautiful, they were stealing the cutting board made of white oak and some other kind of oak, I think. Purple Heart, there you go, that's it. That was made by Steve because they knew that if they had that, then they could get their hands on the stool made of wood and white oak and Purple Heart, maybe. Again, some other woods, but beautiful pieces of craftsmanship. Now, I tell you this to say, these men know what they're doing. They're making these beautiful works of art. And people recognize that, and they steal these gifts in a Christian way, of course. They're stealing these gifts from each other because they recognize the beauty. They recognize the work of art that is there in their hands. And if you saw the pieces, you would agree. When we glorify something, we are recognizing what it is. When we glorify, last night these men received great glory. And I told Steve that we were going to have to compress his head just a little bit last night because of all the stealing of his gifts that was going on. They were recognized for their skill. Friends, when we glorify God, we are recognizing Him for who He is. Amen. We are recognizing the greatness, the grandeur, the majesty, the awe-inspiring goodness of who God is. When I say, friends, our chief end is to glorify God, what do I mean? I mean we look and we recognize who God is. That is what it means to glorify God. Let me give you one other illustration as we move forward. Many of you have been to a play. We will be going to a play this Thursday night by Christian Youth Theater. And I think it's Beauty and the Beast. Am I right? Beauty and the Beast. And I'm sure at some point in the night, the stage will be darkened. And someone will come out on the stage to say something, maybe a soliloquy. Someone will come on the stage and sing a song, and you know what they'll do? Up top in this little room, they have this little thing. It's called what? A spotlight. And the spotlight will shine on that person as they're singing or talking. And they are recognizing that the stage is for that person and that person alone. Feast upon the talent that this person brings to you. Feast upon it. There they are. silence everything else in the room, darken everything, and recognize the great voice of this one. Friends, when we glorify God, we are darkening everything else around. And when we come together on a Sunday morning, we are darkening everything around and saying, to God be the glory. Because we want to recognize who God is. Church is not about looking around. Church is not about worrying about what someone else is or isn't doing. And children, I'm so glad y'all are in here this morning as our first Sunday of the week or the month. I'm so glad y'all are in here. Because glorifying God is about thinking about God and recognizing who God is. As we get together, if you have your Bibles, I want to invite you. We're going to begin in Mark chapter 12 this morning. We're not going to be going through a book, and if you're a guest with us, we're in between books of the Bible, and we're going through a series called The Five Solas. And I want to show you a picture of what we've been doing the last few weeks. This picture is a resemblance, or a pictorial view of what we're studying, in that there are five truths that were brought about or recognized in the Reformation that are helping us to understand who we are in light of God and who God is, more importantly. And this picture, we began our study in sola scriptura, and that means scripture alone. And the idea that that is conveying is that we understand everything we understand about God through the scripture alone. The scripture alone is our teacher. Then we have three pillars that are helping us understand life and salvation. One of them is this, sola fide, that salvation comes through faith alone, not through any work that we do. We also understand that on the far end we have sola gratia, that is by God's grace alone, that is His work in our hearts that brings us salvation. Every good thing that happens is by His grace. And all of those two pillars come together on that center pillar to say, solus Christus. It is in Christ alone that His salvation comes to us, and that every perfect and good and perfect gift comes unto us, Christ alone. So this morning we wrap up our series to say, okay, we know what we know. We know how, by faith through grace, and we know who through Christ. And what is the purpose of this building or this church? It is to point to the cross. And I love that at the top is the cross, because we are pointing, and it is soli Deo gloria. Soli, which is our word, alone. Deo, God, gloria. So soli Deo gloria means to God alone be the glory. All of these things working together to bring glory to God alone. And I love this. To God alone be the glory is at its pinnacle. At what, church? At the cross of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at this. Romans chapter 12, we'll be beginning. Mark chapter 12. Sorry. Mark chapter 12, we'll be beginning. Jesus is being asked, what is the most important commandment? Was it commandment 1? Was it commandment 4? Honor your father and mother. Keep the Sabbath holy. Commandment 5, honor your father and mother. Was it commandment 10, don't covet? Well, what commandment was most important? And Jesus said this, the most important one is this, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength. I bring up this passage of scripture to say this. We can go through the five solas and talk, and it's just words. It's just words and pictures. Unless we understand this, all of these things are working together to bring us to love God and to glorify who He is, to recognize who He is. Now, we cannot love God if we don't recognize who He is. We can love versions of God, and the world has versions of God to give to us. But unless they are defined by sola scriptura, they're not the God of the Bible. And so we cannot love this God of the Bible unless we understand who He is properly. We cannot know God unless it's through faith, by His grace. We don't understand who God is apart from Jesus. In our Sunday school class, we've been reading through John 15. Jesus says, unless you know who I am, you don't know who the Father is. And that is why it makes its way toward the cross, because the cross is the demonstration, God's pinnacle demonstration of His love for us. So here's my question for you to begin thinking is, why do all these things matter? Because many of us could say, you know, I'm happy enough with my job, with my wife, with my family, with my friends, with my Netflix. I'm happy enough. I'm happy enough with my new vehicle, and my new house that I built, or my old house that I'm comfortable in. I'm happy enough. But there, somewhere in the Christian's life, a line is crossed in which to say, I love God more than I love all of this. And until I get to the place in my life where I'm willing and able to say, God, I love you more than my new car and my family, my wife. God, I love you more than my job. God, I love you more than my health. God, I love you more than my hobbies. We will never be able to accomplish soli Deo Gloria. So friend, if you are worshiping with us this morning, you're here with us this morning, you will fall short of God's goal and purpose for your life, God's reason for your life, when anything is more important to you than His glory. When Jesus says, love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength, He wants the utmost place, the utmost affections of your love. Now, a lot of people can say, oh, I love God and I obey God, but they miss the greatest revelation of God. And here's what it goes. When you read through the scripture, you see in Genesis promises made about Jesus. When you read in the prophets, Isaiah, and someone quoted to me Isaiah 53 this morning, you read promises made about Jesus. When you get to Colossians, you get to Paul talking about Jesus. In fact, let me read a couple there. Colossians 1:15. Here is Jesus. Paul is saying this. Jesus is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. Jesus is God. Jesus is everything about God that we need to know. He's the revealed Word of God. He's the revelation of God. And if we are to recognize God, then we must recognize Him in the person of Jesus Christ. Because Paul continues in verse 19, he says, for in Jesus all of the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. When we get to the book of Revelation, the end of the Bible, John labors to tell us we will be worshiping, guess who, church? Jesus. The revelation of God is in Jesus Christ. So let me ask you then, if our ultimate purpose, if our chief end then is to glorify God, to recognize God, what might I ask you then is God's chief end? And this is where the carpet gets pulled out from under us sometimes. Many times we look at life and we say, you know, if God loves us, He wants us happy. Or God's most important thing in life is to love me. And I mean, look, this is on Christian radio. This is in Christian books and preached in churches. God's most important thing is to love you and have a relationship with you. Because when God created everything, He was lonely. So He made people that He might have fellowship. And that puts you and I in the center of God's agenda. And without us, God is incomplete. So I ask you, friends, does that sound like the biblical God to you? Is God incomplete in any way? Is God's goal centered around our happiness and our comfort? Then where do we get the idea that everything God does is supposed to make us happy and comfortable? Look in Ephesians chapter 2, if you will, with me. To God alone be the glory. If God were focused and centered around us, then God would want us to be glorified. But look what happens in Ephesians chapter 2. Here it is. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, God made us alive. And we looked at this passage a couple weeks ago. He made us alive together with Christ. For by grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places. So that, listen here, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. God's goal for all eternity is to show himself in the person of Jesus Christ, is to glorify who he is, to recognize who he is. Here it is. In the coming ages, he might show, he might recognize, he might glorify the immeasurable riches, the unfathomable, uncountable riches of who he is and his grace toward us in Jesus Christ. God's goal is not in us. And that rug is pulled out from us and we land flat on our face and go, wait a second, I thought God was all about me. No, friend. No, friend. God is all about God. And you think, oh, how self-centered and egotistical of a God can we have? Well, how about this? If God hid himself from us, it would be the most vile and ungood thing that he could do. Because the thing that can please us and save us and make us give us the most joy is he himself. And that is why for all eternity he's going to reveal himself to us. Because he is what gives us joy. Let me give you another biblical example. Exodus chapter 14. God is revealing to himself not only his grace for all eternity, he's going to reveal to us his strength and to all of creation his strength. Look at Exodus 14, verse 17. Even if it causes hurt and pain, he is willing to reveal himself. And watch what happens. And I will harden the heart of the Egyptians so that they shall go in after him. This is into the Red Sea when it's parted. They're going to go in after. And I will get what? Glory over Pharaoh and all of his host, his chariots and his horsemen, and the Egyptians shall know. I'm going to reveal myself, and everybody will know that I am the Lord when I've gotten glory over Pharaoh, his chariots, and his horsemen. And those waters fell in on top of the waters of the Red Sea and drowned. Who knows how many people? And God said, the glory is mine. You do not bring yourself to challenge the might of the living God. Was God just in drowning countless Egyptians? Yes. Yes, he was. Because his glory is more important than a life. His glory is more important than my life, friends. And if he take me and strike me down today or give me cancer and I die, then I say to God be the glory. God, your glory is more important than my life. And the problem with so many in this world is we think that, well, God's glory is second to my agenda. and to my comfort and to my job. Oh, I'm so busy. I can't serve the Lord. What have we done at that point? We've taken God's glory and we have put it right under our busy schedule. May it never be, church. May it never be. The Lord reveals to us not only His strength, His grace, but His fury. Look in Isaiah 28, verse 5. And that day of the Lord, in the day of the Lord of hosts will be a crown of glory and a diadem, a crown of beauty to the remnant of His people, and the spirit of justice of Him who sits on His judgment, sits on His throne of judgment, and strength to those who turn back at the battle gate. This is in context, he's talking about the day of the Lord coming and Him executing judgment upon His people. And the Lord shows His fury because that's part of who He is. And we cannot shrink back from saying, oh God, You are furious with sin. Because that's who He is. And if we do not see that, we are failing to recognize the glory of God. You know what else He shows? Back in Exodus 33, this is one to remember. Moses said, here it is. Moses said in Exodus 33, 18, Lord, show me Your glory. I want to see Your glory, O God. I want to recognize who You are. I want to know You. And you know what the Lord says to him? Okay, here it is. See, here's my picture. This is what I look like. No, he doesn't pull out his wallet. He doesn't pull out a picture. He says this, I will make all My goodness pass before you. I will proclaim before you My name, My nature, My character. This is who I am. I am the Lord. And I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. He says, if you want to see My glory, look at My nature. You're going to see mercy and you're going to see grace. You want to see My glory? Look at My character. You can't see Me with your eyes, but you can know Me with your mind, with your heart. You can know who I am. Friends, do we want to glorify God? Then look and find out who He is. Look in Your Word and find out who He is. You cannot glorify God apart from knowing Him in His Word. And you pray, oh God, may Your Spirit open my eyes to understand who You are. Then you can glorify God. And one more. How do we know who He is? We know Him by His Son. Look at Isaiah 42, verse 6 through 8. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand and keep you. I will give you as a covenant for the people, a light for the nations. Oh, this is about to get good. Somebody once said, I am the light of the world. In John chapter 8, who was it? That's right, it was Jesus. To open the eyes of the blind. I'm going to give you a light for the nations. To open the eyes of the blind. Anybody, y'all remember anybody who opened the eyes of the blind? It was Jesus, wasn't it? To bring out the prisoners from the dungeon. Anybody been set free this morning? From the prison, those who sit in darkness. That is spiritual darkness. I am the Lord. That is My name. My glory I give to no other, nor my praise to carved idols. I give My glory to one and to one alone. And His name is
Jesus.
You see, what God says, if you want to know Me, if you want to glorify and honor Me, you have one place to look. And that is My Son. Jesus Christ, here is My glory. And His glory came and dwelt among us. John chapter 1. Church, remind me, in what way does the Lord reveal His glory most clearly? His name is Jesus. And here's the thing, church. It is Jesus and Jesus alone. And this is where you get to Soli Deo Gloria. Soli Deo Gloria means alone God be the glory. It's not just Deo Gloria. It's solely Deo Gloria. It means to God alone be the glory. And that is in the person of Jesus Christ. And here was the problem in the Reformation in the day. And Martin Luther and Zwingli and these Tyndale and these guys had the problem was people were saving themselves and the church was trying to offer salvation that we can give you this. And opposed to saying, no, Jesus alone saves me. It was, look what I can do, and look what the church can do. And as men read the Bible, they said, that's not what it's about. God will not give his glory to another. He will not give it to a church. He will not give it to a person. He will give it to his son. Isaiah 48 says it very clearly to us. Behold, I have refined you, but not as silver. I have tried you in a furnace of affliction. For my own sake and for my own sake I do it. For how should my name be profaned? My glory I will not give to another. No matter what I do, says the Lord, I'm not giving credit to anyone else. Call it a church. Call it whatever you want. If it's not glorifying Jesus and Jesus alone, it's not me. So friend, as you are part of this church fellowship, my hope and prayer is that you say, this is not a church that's a good church. This is a church that comes together to worship a good God named Jesus Christ. And that's why we are together. Does he have that right? Amen. Amen. He can do what he wants. Do we believe that? Romans 9 gives us an example of that. Does, and this is the Lord, a picture of the Lord giving Pharaoh, a man, the most powerful seat on earth at the time, and him saying, I'm going to use that seat that I've put you in, Pharaoh, to point everyone to me. Watch what he does, Romans 9, 16. So it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, hear this, for this purpose I have raised you up, Pharaoh, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. The Lord even gives people positions on this earth to bring glory and honor to his name. Can he do that? Can he do that?
Yes.
That's not even the right question. Can he do it? But it is, he must do it. Because if he doesn't, then he is falling short of the greatest thing that needs to happen. And that is that we do glorify God. And that we do know him. Because if we don't, we are lost. And friends, this is the great lostness of our world today, is people don't know Jesus. People are lost and they will be doomed and they will face the judgment seat of God and will be doomed forever in an eternal hell because they don't know Jesus. So it's not, can God do this? But it is, yes, God, you must do this. Because this is the best thing that can happen, that we know you. A strong church is a church that is willing to glorify God at all cost.
Amen.
A strong church is a church that is willing to glorify God at all cost. Are we a strong church? A strong Christian is a Christian who is willing to glorify God at all cost. Are you a strong Christian? Are you a Bible-believing, soli Deo Gloria Christian? How do we do that? I'm glad you asked. How do we do that? And here is the most effective and clear way that we can soli Deo Gloria. The most clear and effective way we can glorify God is in this. Romans chapter 3. Here it is. You want to be a sold-out Christian, a Christian whose greatest goal in life is to glorify God. Here's how you do it, and let me read it to you. For all have sinned. Y'all know this? Children, you know it. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. There is a plight. There is a problem in our world. We have all sinned and fall short of God's glory. We've fallen short of recognizing God for who He is. Do you see it? There's a void there. It's not just that we've committed sins. It's that we've fallen short of recognizing Him for who He is. If you read Romans, you see the context of that. We fall short of recognizing God for who He is. And we are justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in what? Christ Jesus. Okay? If we want to glorify God most clearly, recognize that we've fallen short of His glory, of recognizing Him, and recognize the redemption that is in Him in Christ Jesus. We glorify God most clearly when we recognize Jesus. Verse 25, whom God put forward as a propitiation. Fancy Bible word, which means He is a payment. Which God put forward as a payment, a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness. Show God's righteousness. We want to glorify God? Well, we recognize His Son. We show His righteousness in that without His Son, we are doomed. We are doomed. Eternally damned. For this was to show God's righteousness, that we deserve to be doomed. Because in His divine forbearance, He had passed over former sins. It was to show His righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus Christ. How do we most clearly glorify God? By proclaiming the truth here, the gospel message, that we were doomed. But that Jesus Christ came to die on a tree and be raised up and give of His last breath and be laid in a tomb and to rise from the grave 3 days later. What greater way can we glorify God than showing Him as the just and the justifier, the one who crushed His Son? He crushed His Son! But He saved us in the process. He is the just. He is the crusher. But He is also the Savior. The one who saved you from the crushing that you deserve. This is how we most clearly glorify God. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And by proclaiming it to ourselves each and every day. Oh God, You've saved me. Oh God, You saved me. I glorify You. I recognize, oh God, You saved me. I recognize You, oh God, You saved me. Each and every day. The gospel is not a one-time bit. It is a daily truth that keeps us as Christians living for Jesus. And then we proclaim it to our family. And then we proclaim it to our friends and our coworkers. And then we proclaim it to the Haitians and the Chinese. And those in Bulgaria and Chad. We proclaim around the world to the Indians. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. Jesus saves. And then I say this. Why do I say this? Why is this the most important thing? Here's why. Because this will be what we will talk about forever. This is what is right now at the throne of God. John gave us a picture in Revelation. Here's the throne room of God. Guess what's going on? At the throne of God, guess what's going on? And they sang a new song, says Revelation chapter 5, singing, "Worthy are You to take the scroll and open its seals, for You were slain." They're singing of the slainness of the Son. Jesus, You are worthy because You were slain, and by Your blood You ransomed. Jesus, You received glory because You ransomed a people for God from every tribe and tongue and language and people and nation. And You have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. Then I looked and I heard around the throne the living creatures and the elders and the voices of many angels numbering myriads of myriads and thousands of thousands. Here's the song in heaven. Do you want to know? Here's the song of heaven, saying with one loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb." What kind of Lamb? Who was slain. The way in which we glorify God and the way in which we will glorify God, and the song we will sing and what we will say for all eternity is, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And if I can't say that today, I will not say it in heaven. I must say that today. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain." And in Jesus, we glorify God most clearly, most effectively. "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power, wealth, wisdom, honor, glory, might and blessing." And I heard every creature in heaven and on earth and under the earth, no matter where they were, I heard every creature and all of them saying, "To him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb be blessing and honor and glory and might forever and ever." Soli Deo Gloria in the Son of God. So what's all this mean? Let me give you what all this means. Christian, if you are here with me this morning, this is a life-changing truth in the sense that this is the direction in which we go in life. Are we willing to abandon all worldly things to love Jesus Christ above everything else? This is the call of Christianity. Have you worked the same job for 36 years? Are you willing to give it up for Jesus? Do you have something that is so precious to you about your character and something that you're well known in the community for? Are you willing to give that up for the sake of Jesus? What about the comforts of life? Are you willing to give those things up for the namesake of Jesus? Christian, Soli Deo Gloria is not, "I will glorify God." It's, "I want God to receive the glory alone. And I'm willing to make that happen. I'm willing to pick my family up and move them. I'm willing to take a pay cut that I might be a servant. I'm willing to look a fool that I might glorify God and that He might receive the glory alone." Oh, I love the song you sang, Glenda, the tribute. "If I receive any praise, let it go to Calvary." Doesn't that just sum it up? Non-Christian, if you're not a believer, maybe you think you're a believer, but maybe deep down inside you know you're not. You haven't surrendered. Maybe, you know, you can recognize that Jesus is the Lord and not be a believer. Not be a Christian. Satan recognizes Jesus as Lord and he's not a Christian. A lot of people in this world recognize Jesus as Lord and know who he is, but don't love him. If you're not a believer, if you're not a Christian, if you're not born again today, the most clear and effective way that you can glorify God right now is to recognize that Jesus Christ was crushed for your sin, and that God has used him to reconcile you into relationship back with God. That your relationship with God was severed because of sin, the sin of Adam, and your own sin. It was severed. But you have been made right through the blood of Jesus Christ. When you believe that, when you repent of your ungodliness and by faith believe and willing to love Jesus more than anything else, That is how you can most effectively and clearly glorify God today. Non-Christian, are you there? Get on your knees and you beg and you say, oh, Father, forgive me. I've been wrong. Make me right. How can you live solely Deo Gloria? Let's pray. To God alone be the glory is our prayer, O God. Help us as believers, help us to daily hear the gospel, love it, and embrace it. Lord, for those who are not believers in our fellowship today, may they come to understand and surrender to you as the Lord and glorify you with all of their being. Oh, Father, help us in this endeavor. We need your grace to know and to recognize you rightly. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen.